All right, so last week we started off in our Elevated Wisdom series looking at the book of Proverbs. Last week was the search for truth, and as you might recall, we found out that truth contributes to our knowledge library, which creates our worldview, and from our worldview, we choose what is, in fact, wise. This week, we're going to dive into what I call the wisdom nuggets of Proverbs. And we're going to look at some of the different themes throughout this book of wisdom. And we're going to discover that God has some incredibly powerful things to share with us as a church about how to be wise in Nanaimo in 2018. And to get us started here this morning, I want to talk about values. Did you grow up in your home, did you have values in your home that were never necessarily spoken or written down? You just sort of knew them. Anyone have values like that? Like this. Don't ever disrespect your mama. How about this one? Don't ever waste food in this home. Anyone grow up with that one? Yeah, no kidding. How about this one? Death is the only acceptable excuse for missing school. Anyone have that one? That was the rule in our home, I'll tell you. You were out the door to get to school. In my home, though, do we have the... There we go. Great. So we're looking at wisdom for the weekender right now and looking at laziness. And this was, in my family, this was one of the unspoken rules in our home. You will not be lazy. Laziness was like a sin around our house. I'll give you a couple of examples of how this was acted out. In our house, or in our family, we had a huge garden. And it was so big that just to harvest the potatoes took 7 of us all day long with a tractor and a plow. That's right, I'm that old. We used a plow to get the potatoes out of the ground. All day, 7 people. Another example would be my family, my parents owned rental properties. And when it came time to get the home ready for new renters, this is in my early teens, years, my parents would drop myself and my older brother off at the house right around breakfast time. And we would paint every room in the house all day long. My dad would come pick us up after work around about 8, 9 o'clock at night, and it was just expected. You're part of this home. You help out with the family. Now, some people would call that, today, abusive. I'm sure if you went back to 1986 and asked my parents, they would say, why do you think we had 5 kids in the first place? Different times, man, different times, I tell you. But it was just expected. Don't be lazy. In our home, during the week, you were expected to work hard. On the weekends, you were expected to work harder. That was just the way it was. Now, as I went through what the Bible has to say about, or what Proverbs had to say about laziness, it started to sound to me a little bit like Jeff Foxworthy's statements about you may be a Canadian. You ever hear these? You know who comedian Jeff Foxworthy is? Now you know, okay? Anyone recognize this face? So he says some things about Canadians like this. He says, if you measure distance in hours, you may live in Canada. He said, if you know several people who have hit a deer more than once, you may live in Canada. Anybody? Huh? Here's another one. If you have switched from heat to AC in the same day and back again, you may live in Canada. Now, some of these, I understand that you Nanaimoites aren't going to quite be able to relate to as much as the rest of Canada. But, you know, hang on. If you carry jumpers in your car and your wife knows how to use them, you may live in Canada. You never need them in Nanaimo. Don't tell the rest of Canada. Here's another one. If you design your kid's Halloween costume to fit over a snowsuit, you may live in Canada. Another one. If driving is better in the winter because the potholes are filled with snow, you may live in Canada. And one more. This you will not relate to, but the rest of Canada will. If you know all four seasons, almost winter, winter, still winter, and road construction, you may live in Canada. So as we go through the statements about laziness, they're going to sound a little bit like Jeff Foxworthy's statements about Canada. But in the end, here's what the one thing we can walk away with, the one thing that I hope all of us will remember for the rest of our lives, because you were here this morning. I know I have high hopes, but it is this, that laziness limits. Laziness limits. All that cutting corners, all the living for pleasure, living for the moment, it limits us. The question here this morning is, does laziness limit you? We're going to look at eight particular warnings, shall we say, that the Book of Wisdom tells us about laziness. Now, are you ready for eight different things? Can you handle that? I'm listening to all the enthusiasm in the room. Here's the first one. If you are never employee of the month, you might just be lazy. You're not believing me yet. Okay, this is what the book of Proverbs says. Lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke in the eyes. If your boss has nothing good to say about you, it may just be because you're lazy. If the boss has changed your yearly end-of-the-year Christmas bonus into a Jell-O of the Month Club membership, you may just be lazy. If your boss doesn't see you as a valuable member of the team, it may just be because your boss sees you as a lazy person. So if you are never employee of the month, you might just be lazy. That's the first one. Second one. In the walk of life, if you only ever follow, you might just be lazy. It says in Proverbs 12, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. It's funny, you know, I've been leading in church circles for 22 years now. And it's funny, you know, when it comes to things that need to get done around a church, I find that lots of people are willing to help. God bless them. We need helpers. That's good. When you need a leader, that's when people are checking their Twitter accounts. Or they're looking around the room wondering, wow, I wonder if all the lights work, you know, or staring at the floor, you know. It's hard to find leaders. Why? It's not hard to figure out. Leadership is where the responsibility happens. Leadership is where the hardest work happens. This is not a shock, right? Work hard and become a leader, it says. Be lazy and become a slave. Now, I realize that sometimes people won't take leadership because of low self-esteem or whatever, or it may just be laziness. It takes hard work and effort to be a leader, to take responsibility and to say, I'm going to be responsible for that, I'm going to do that. And if you look back on your life and you say, I've never stepped into leadership, ask yourself why. Why? Why is that? In the walk of life, if you only follow, you may just be lazy. Number three. That's right. This is a picture of one of your living rooms. No, it's not. No, it's not. If you could appear on Hoarders, you might just be lazy. Now, some of these nuggets you sort of have to think about a little bit. And here's, this is one of them. Lazy people don't even cook the game they catch, it says in Proverbs 12. But the diligent make use of everything they find. Lots of people have great intentions when it comes to the stuff that they collect. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to resell it for a profit. Lots of great intentions. But what happens often with lazy people is stuff just begins to collect. Now, I haven't been to most of your homes, so I don't know who this applies to. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Lazy people don't even cook the game they catch. They don't use what they have. But the diligent make use of everything. That's the difference. Now, I understand that hoarding can have all kinds of causes, including mental illness, by the way. But if you find your house has more and more and more stuff that you don't use or need, ask yourself why. Ask yourself why you are accumulating more things. If you could appear on Hoarders, you might just be lazy. I can tell you're enjoying this so much. It's easier to preach, I'm sure, than to listen to, I'm sure. I got conviction going through this too, so okay. Here's another one. Number four. If you find most want ads don't apply to you, you might just be lazy. This is what it says in Proverbs 15. A lazy person's way is blocked with briars, but the path of the upright is an open highway. Some of you know I have a background in education, and it was interesting to watch how this played out, this particular verse. Because you'd find kids, students, and they'd waste a class. They would do nothing. And then they'd waste the next class and the class after that. I'm describing some people in this room, maybe? And the thing is, what they didn't know, and it didn't matter if you told them, what they didn't know is with every time they took a class off, their options were narrowing. Slowly but surely, their options were narrowing. A lazy person's way is blocked with briars. They'd find by the time they graduate, they don't have a lot of options left. They may not make it to college or university because they've wasted too many classes. All that laziness has cost them. The future begins to narrow. This is not just true with students, by the way. Adults are the same. The more laziness we have in our lives, the more our options in the future begin to narrow. If you find that most want ads don't apply to you, you might just be lazy. Number five is this. If you only live for the moment, you might just be lazy. It says this. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Think about that for a minute. If you only live for the moment, you know, you only live once was a term that was popular years ago. And it basically meant live in the moment. Live for the here and now. That's what you have and all that good stuff. And Proverbs, the book of wisdom, is saying if you want to be wise, be thinking about your future. Do something now that will contribute to your future. Because if you only live for the here and now, here are some things that could happen. You may show up for a job interview with a hangover. You may have an unexpected pregnancy. You may have a 3-year subscription to Lawn Bowling Magazine. You got to think ahead. You got to plan. You got to prepare. And you know what? Planning and preparing takes work. It takes effort. It takes thought. This is why lazy people do not think ahead. They just live for the here and now and hope that the future will kind of take care of itself. It's good to think ahead. There's the old joke about an elderly woman who passed away, and when it came to reading her will, it said this: "To my cousin Ed, I leave my ranch. To my brother Jim, I leave my money market accounts. To my neighbor and good friend Francine, I leave my stocks. And finally, to my cousin Gwen, who always sat around and never did anything, but wanted to be remembered in my will, I want to say, hi, Gwen." It's good to think ahead. All right, number 6. If you regularly check into the Excuse Motel, you might just be lazy. It says in Proverbs 22, "The lazy person claims, there's a lion out there. If I go outside, I might be killed." You ever know people who have outrageous excuses? They don't get stuff done? Anybody know someone like that? They've got an excuse for every occasion. You might have heard some of these. I mentioned that I have an education background. One of the things that I used to do was, and I've mentioned this before, I used to sub for teachers. And quite often I would sub for the phys ed teacher. And so I would, I'd have my lesson plan already. Here's the stuff. There's a warm-up. We're going to do this. And as soon as the class started, I'd have a lineup. No kidding. A lineup of students with excuses about why they couldn't participate. We're talking twisted ankles, headaches. It was like a Pepto-Bismol commercial. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea. I didn't do the dance. And I thought, are all these poor teens living on top of radioactive waste or something? Like, why are they so sick at the peak of their lives? 13, 14, 15-year-olds, and they're broken down already. But you know, phys ed is hard work. It's effort. It's tough. And so they'd come up with all kinds of excuses. I love how the people at TED Talks eliminated excuses. And for those of you who are not familiar with TED Talks, TED Talks are like little snippets, little segments of experts giving talks on different topics, 10, 20 minutes long kind of thing. And you can download them and listen to them on all kinds of different things. But the people at TED Talks, they were so dedicated to their employees embracing the idea of lifelong learning that they came up with an idea. They came up with something called Learning Wednesdays. Learning Wednesdays was a day off. They gave all their employees every second Wednesday off. Here was the deal. They said, we want you to go out and study on any topic you want, anything you want. Every second Wednesday, you have off. Now, someone from the outside may look at that and go, so what's stopping them from just goofing off that day? You know, heading off to the lake or whatever. Smart bunch at TED Talks. They said, you can have every second Wednesday off to study any topic you want. And here's the deal. At the end of the year, you will give a TED Talk on what you discovered. That's accountability. Accountability is the cure for excuses, let me tell you. So they came up with this idea for accountability. Isn't that brilliant? I love that. You're going to give a TED Talk. Man, oh man, that's great. I love it. Okay, number 7. If you overestimate your abilities, you might just be lazy. It says in Proverbs 26, lazy people consider themselves smarter than 7 wise counselors. Lazy people believe that they are exceptional. That if they show up late, if they take long breaks, if they cut corners, it won't affect them. It only affects other people. And even though they may have people around them, counselors, parents, teachers, friends, saying this is going to cost you, They overestimate their abilities and say, well, that might cost other people, but that's not going to cost me because I am exceptional. Do you know people who are unteachable? Anyone? And it's like they have their ears plugged. They don't listen. They're a little bit advice immune, you could call it. Learning, changing, growth takes work. It takes effort. So when you see people saying, I'm too smart for all this advice, I mean, honestly, at the heart of that could be just plain laziness. I don't want to grow. I don't want to change. That takes work. It takes effort. I don't want to do that. Finally, number 8. You've been very patient so far. You've managed to make it to number 8. Good for you. Here's the last one. If you have a lifetime pass at Fantasyland, you might just be lazy. This is what it says in Proverbs 28. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. As a pastor, I have people come to me with all kinds of strange things. And one of them is sometimes they'll come to me with get-rich-quick schemes. And more often than not, the number one get-rich-quick scheme that is brought to me has something to do with the stock market. That they seem to think that they have the corner on this, that they know how it all works, and they picture that they see a future where they'll be sitting at their desk and clicking on their computer just a few times a day and retire at 45 because they have got the stock market figured out. I'm not buying what they're selling, by the way. I don't think they really know what they're doing. Now, sometimes they may. Good for them. But I'm not going to be investing anytime soon. I kind of go with it. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's right. Yeah. So at the heart that of laziness, the thing that fuels laziness is hedonism. Hedonism is the philosophy that says the greatest thing about life is pleasure, is happiness. It's the pursuit of happiness. As long as I'm feeling pleasure, my life is good. So, back in the 1970s, a philosopher by the name of Robert Nozick came up with this idea, and he said, what if... Now, he didn't actually invent this. But what if you could invent a happiness machine where you could just climb into this machine and it would create all kinds of scenarios for you? If you want to win a gold medal at the Olympics, you could just experience that. If you want to fall in love, you could just experience that. If you want a dream job, there it is in the machine. And yet, you and I both know something about this, right? That it wouldn't work. Because we don't just want the fantasy of falling in love. We want to actually love and be loved in reality. We don't want just the feeling of winning a gold medal. We want to actually accomplish getting that gold medal. There's something about reality that we need. Hedonism doesn't work. Laziness is an empty promise. And here, and I've said this before, the more we pursue pleasure as an ultimate end, the harder it is to find. The more you pursue pleasure as an ultimate end, the harder it is to find. So, now let me back up, let me summarize. In case you forgot already, the things that laziness will do to you and to me. Laziness will bring you trouble with your employer. Laziness will mean that you always follow and never lead. Laziness means you will squander your belongings. Your eyes will be narrowed. You will be unprepared. You will annoy people with your lame excuses. You will overestimate your abilities and not take advice. And you will live outside of reality. In short, laziness limits. Now, I have to tell you, you know, after telling you the story about how my family's value was all about hard work, I have a confession. Nobody rebelled against that value more than this cowboy. Of all the kids in my home, I rebelled the most. In fact, let me tell you a little something. This is embarrassing. I was so lazy that when my parents would yell down the stairs that there was work to be done, I'd pretend I couldn't hear them. And so they'd have to march all the way down the stairs and bang on my door. And they got tired of doing that. But then after a while, because I was so consistent with this, I really was, I was dedicated to my laziness, they began to get worried about me. They thought, maybe this kid's got a hearing problem. So they packed me up, drove me 3 hours to Edmonton to get my hearing checked. They still don't know this, by the way. So it's just between you and me and the internet at this point, okay? So, in case you are feeling like, oh man, pastor's really picking on me. No. This is for me too. Because here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I know I don't have to work at being lazy. It comes ever so naturally. Anybody else? Now see, you're a brave bunch. A lot of people wouldn't admit that they have a lazy bone. So God bless you. Way to go. That's good. Now, the question is, how can we avoid laziness? And this is where we're really going to dig in deep. And I'm going to say, if you want to avoid laziness, there's three things you can do. There's pray, pay, and prioritize. But probably none of those mean what you think they mean. Here we go. How can I avoid laziness? First of all, pray. Now, laziness is a character issue that needs transformation. Absolutely. But I would say don't just pray to be a hard worker. Go beyond that. Here's something I don't know if you do, but I've started to do it myself, which is thank God for the ability to work. Thank God for the ability to work. If you've ever been around people who can't work, you'll know what a privilege it is to get up in the morning and accomplish something. We are designed, by the way, to accomplish things, to work. Did you know that? Right from the Garden of Eden, we were designed to work. In fact, you know, a lot of people think that when it comes to the kingdom of God and you know, the end times and all that sort of thing, they think that in the end, all of us are just going to sit around on clouds with harps. That doesn't sound like heaven. That sounds to me like the other place. It says that in the kingdom, there's going to be work to do, governing to do, things to accomplish, because we are designed to accomplish. We are designed to work. So thank God. If you have the ability, if you have the physical ability to accomplish, thank God for that every day. That is a blessing to you. It increases your mental health when you are able to accomplish something. There is meaning in work. It's not the ultimate meaning, don't get me wrong. But there is meaning in work. So pray. Second one. Pay now, play later. This is a saying that I came across years ago that I have tried to apply to my life as much as possible. What this means is, whatever tasks you have in a given period of time, do the ones that are least desirable first. Get them out of the way. Laziness does the opposite. Laziness wants to play now and pay later. Here's the problem with that. Is if you keep putting things off and you want to keep playing, the stack that needs to get paid starts to look insurmountable. And it can actually damage our mental health. It becomes something that is overwhelming. It can be depressing. So if you make it a habit to pay now and play later, this will help you to not be lazy. So you can do this for a period of an hour. You can do this for a period of a day or a week or a month or a year. One of the things that I do in my life is I put the most difficult tasks at the start of my week. So Monday, Tuesday, those are tough, tough days for me. Those are long, hard days. Wednesday a little better, Thursday a little better, and then it kind of nicely evens out for me by the end of the week. That's how I've helped to deal with laziness as an issue in my life. And I would encourage you to do the same. Now, by the way, if you're here with your significant other or your spouse, and they're listening to this, and after this message, they come to you with an idea of, instead of having date nights, let's start having date mornings. If you are not making that connection at this point, you may want to re-listen to this message. Because they're saying, I'd rather pay now and play later. I'll have that date thing right in the morning. Did I connect the dots well enough for everyone? All right, here we go. Good, good, good. So ask yourself, what do I need to pay now so I can play later? Because it's important to be able to play. I'm not up here saying you need to work all the time. Jesus didn't work all the time. He took time out to get recharged. And we do. We need that as well. And finally, number three is prioritize. Now you might look at that and say, isn't that just number two reworded? No, because I'm not saying prioritize an activity. I'm asking you to prioritize a value. One of the values that we have as a church is this: others over me. This is a crucial value for me to have personally and for us to have as a church. Because here's the thing, if you wake up every day and this is your value and you say, I'm going to spend the rest of today with this value of others over me, you cannot be lazy. You cannot be lazy and have an attitude of others over me. I'll tell you how you can be lazy though. You can have an attitude of me over others. Because here's the thing, and let's drill down just a wee bit more. At the heart, at the very heart of laziness is pride. Pride because it says, I'm okay with living with a service deficit. What I mean by that, you know how this works in finances, right? If you have a deficit in your finances, that means there is more money going out than coming in, right? Right? A service deficit means I am more comfortable with more people serving me than I am serving. Laziness is comfortable with that. Laziness is comfortable saying me over others. I'm okay. I want more people to serve me than I'm serving others. A few weeks ago, something really struck me, and it has hit me to this day. I talked about how Jesus restored Peter at the very end of the book of John. Yeah, anyone there for that message? And the thing that struck me was here Jesus had died, he'd rose again, and he sees the disciples, and what does he do for them? He cooks them breakfast. And it says he served it to them. He was just hours away from joining his Father in glory. And what does he do? He makes breakfast for these disciples. Because Jesus was comfortable with a serving deficit. He lived his whole life giving more than he ever received. Our Father is the same. It's just part of God's nature. He is comfortable with giving more than he gets. Laziness does not want that. Laziness says, I want to get more than I give. Laziness limits, because here's what pride will do. That pride that says, I'm okay with that whole situation, you know what pride does? It pushes people away. It pushes people out of our lives. There's no one in this room who's attracted to lazy people. There's no one in this room who's attracted to prideful people. It just doesn't happen. Laziness will suck the adventure right out of your life and leave your life empty. Laziness limits. Laziness limits the health of our relationships, our obedience to God, and the level of meaning and purpose in our lives. Prideful people become more and more alone. I'm going to close with this. A self-centered life leaves a person alone. An others-centered life draws people close. Laziness limits not just our careers, our income, and our options. It limits who we will be surrounded by tomorrow. That's how crucial laziness is in our lives. But if we pray and thank God for the ability to work, if we adopt a strategy of pay now and play later, and if we prioritize the value of others over me, here's something pretty remarkable that's going to happen. Your level of laziness will drop, and the number of people that will surround you will increase. It's remarkable. And that's what I want for you, church. My hope is that in your life, you are going to have more and more and more people surround you because they see that value in you, that others over me. People were attracted to Jesus for that very same thing because he was comfortable with a serving deficit. My prayer is that every person at Nanaimo Alliance Church would be able to get so much out of our relationship with our Father that we would all be comfortable with a serving deficit. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the wisdom that you have given us in the book of Proverbs, warning us about the dangers of laziness. And Lord, that applies to some degree to all of us. Lord, may you help us to be thankful even for the ability to work. May you give us the discipline, the self-control that allows us to tackle the most difficult tasks first. And may you transform us on the inside by the power of your Spirit so that we would wake up every day with an attitude of others over me. God, may others over me be found in our marriages, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and in this church. May we be a church that is comfortable with a serving deficit. Lord, we love you. As we heard earlier today, it is a reasonable act of our worship to offer you our entire bodies, our whole lives. Every breath belongs to you. Lord, use us to serve others. We ask in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. If you would like prayer this morning, there's going to be some wonderful people up here who would love to pray with you. Beyond that, God bless you. Have a wonderful week.